All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Week 13 edition, bye week edition of the show. We were hoping not to be coming on to the show this week talking about a 7-5 team as opposed to an 8-4 team. But here we are, and even though there's no game this weekend, I'm kind of glad there's no game this weekend for multiple reasons, but you know, the main one, obviously, the Bucks need a bye week right now for several reasons, which we'll get into on the show today. And two, you know, a lot of times when I do this show, we're moving on to the next game, and we're kind of looking ahead at things, and we don't stop and take stock. And the Bucks need to do that this week. We're going to do that today because that loss to the Chiefs on last Sunday, as disappointing as it was, there's a couple of ways to look at things right now, and we'll talk about them coming up. The Free Stretch, as it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. So if you're looking for a car right now, or even if you're not, you're thinking, hey, maybe I will look for a car, here's a good spot to go. BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Look around the website. You know, just put some feelers out there. You don't have to necessarily be looking to buy something right now. You might see something you like, though. They have tons of inventory, brand new, pre-owned, used, all that stuff. You can go to the place itself, which is always where it's been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They're just north of Hillsboro. Or check them out by having them come to you. And they will do that in this time of COVID with everything going on. If you're not comfortable going out on a trip that you don't see as essential, pick out a car on the website. Say, I want to see what that one's about. They will drive it to you. You can test drive it around your neighborhood or where you work, wherever you want in a certain radius. They'll do it. Doesn't matter where. And if you buy the car, same thing. If you do buy the car, unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty, free oil changes the first year, 10 years of roadside assistance, all that stuff comes with everything you buy at Bill Curry Ford, which is just a magnificent deal on top of the vehicle you're getting. So check them out. Again, either in person, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, or at BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to them, as always, for supporting the show. And we get ready for this bye week here. So let's talk about the two ways of looking at things right now, first off, because, and I said this even before the Chiefs game, I said it after the Rams game last week, it feels now, and especially now, after the Bucks came up short again, that the Bucks are a good team. I mean, they're a good team. You know, the Rams, and in particular the Chiefs, are really, really good. And to go out there, and you see the Chiefs on TV every week, right? I mean, they're always on TV. You see them, they lost to the Raiders that one game. But other than that, they're just beating the hell out of people weekly. Anybody, doesn't matter who's in front of them. So to see the Bucks go out there, not even look all that good, really. I mean, they didn't play well. And the game wasn't as close as the score made it look. But, I mean, the Bucks had a chance to tie or win that game late, somehow. So for all that to happen in a game where it didn't feel like the Bucks played anywhere near their best football, I think that's a pretty good sign, right? I mean, that's not nothing. And yet, the other side of looking at it is what I said last week and what just got reinforced against the Chiefs. The Bucks aren't there yet. They're not on that level. They're a good team. They're a wild card team. Making the playoffs looks like a pretty good bet, even having lost 3 of 4, especially with an extra playoff team. But you don't get the feeling that this team has a deep run in them anymore. I felt that a few weeks ago before the Saints blowout, and even the Saints blowout I could have put behind me, but then the Rams game. You know, the Bucks have basically lost 3 games at home to playoff caliber teams in the last 4 weeks to varying degrees of closeness, but all games where you thought, yeah, man, we can win this game, we can, you know, that'll really show me something, and they didn't do it each time. And, you know, I know home games aren't of the same nature they are in a normal year with the fans screaming and everything like that. But 3 home games in 4 weeks, they've lost at Raymond James Stadium. And you don't get the feeling of a championship caliber team doing that sort of thing. So you can look at it either way. But at the end of the day, you know, it's looking back at that Chiefs game, what did we say on last week's show? First of all, we said, and I was adamant about this, I said, hey, you know, this is the Chiefs. They do what they do. They're a good team. You're going to have to fight fire with fire to beat them. If I told you they'd score 31 points on the number 31, how hard would you think about, would you take that or not? Like, going into that Chiefs game, I probably would have taken it. In fact, I definitely would have taken it. And then the Bucks go out and allow 27 points. And honestly, the defense got down 17-0 quickly. They didn't do anything to stop Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill went nuts, and it looked like it was going to be another Saints game, to be honest with you, in the first little while. And then after that, they held the Chiefs to 10 points on their final seven drives of the game. And the Chiefs took their foot off the gas for a little bit of that. Like, I think the last two drives, maybe, you could say, the Chiefs took their foot off the gas. But before that, they didn't. And the Bucs at halftime had given up 20 points, only gave up 7 the rest of the way. The Bucs defense kept the Bucs in the game. The Bucs defense, you know, again, I know you can look at the numbers. I know Mahomes shredded them a little while there at the beginning. But overall, sum total, the Bucs defense gave the team a chance to win, and the offense continuously kept wasting those chances and came up short, had turnovers. Or when they did hit a big play, they hit that big play to Gronkowski that got him down inside the 10-yard line, and they kick a field goal, which was absolutely just killed them. You can't do that after you get down that close. Chiefs had the worst red zone defense in the NFL, by the way, going into that game. So, you know, to me, it's on the offense, and it's part of a greater thing that we can see now beyond just the Chiefs game. Here's where I'm at with this offense. And I always preface, every week I preface when I talk about the offense. Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, Clyde Christensen, all these guys know more about football than I ever will. And they've forgotten more about football in the past few days than I'll ever know. So I always feel a little bit uncomfortable sitting here and acting like I'm telling them how to do things. But we can all see it. And not just me, but someone like Tony Romo, who does know as much football as them. Dan Orlovsky is another one of the national, the QB guys that have been critical. This offense, and by when I say this offense, I mean the actual scheme of the offense, not the players that play offense. This offense that Bruce Arians has, this offense that Byron Leftwich is calling, the offense the Bucs are running, basically, is making things too hard on its own players. And it's come more into focus, it's come more into clarity the past few weeks, seeing the Bucs struggling against good teams and seeing the offense be the main reason for that. But what I'm seeing, from my armchair quarterback perspective, is an offense that doesn't ever give itself a chance to make the easy play, that doesn't scheme things in a way such that, hey, here's a safety valve, here's, you know, we'll just go get what we can get here and move the ball down the field. It relies on the players, in particular Tom Brady, to make really, really good plays. And hey, they're supposed to make good plays. I get it. But man, I mean, like, that deep ball they hit to Godwin is when, I don't know if you remember the play. I forget exactly when it was. I think it was the second half. But it was they hit a deep ball to Godwin. I think it was the third quarter when they were trying to come back. And Leonard Fournette blew a blitz pickup. There was heavy rush. Brady was off his back foot getting drilled in the process and just threw a ball up. And I don't know how it is. This is one of the things where you're like, yeah, Tom Brady. Falling backwards without, Godwin was only halfway through his route. He wasn't even into his break yet, I don't think. Just going down the field. And Brady falling backwards just drops one 40, 50 yards down the field exactly to the spot where Godwin ended up being. Like, he outstretched his fingertips, reeled it in. Great throw, great catch. But like that, that's really hard. You're not going to be able to do that a lot, okay? Like, that's really hard to do. And when I think of Tom Brady, when I thought of Tom Brady when we brought him in, you know, watching him all these years with the Patriots, I mean, he's probably, no, not probably, he is the best short to intermediate passer in the history of all football, right? I mean, like, that's from 20 yards and in, or even 15 yards and in, really, working the flats, working the dumps, he's outstanding at that. And we know that's not Bruce Arians' thing. I get it, but I really thought bringing in a guy like that, that we'd, you know, I know how good he is and he can learn new things. But I guess I thought that we were going to be doing the same things he's always done with the Patriots, with maybe a little more downfield aggressiveness, maybe a little more. I know what Arians' offense is. I did not think it would just be like, hey, we're doing what we do. Brady, do that. Because it doesn't work as well. And Brady can make play. I mean, we know that. I mean, our receivers can make plays, but it feels now like we just said, hey, we got Tom Brady. We got all this firepower. We're just going to light MFers up week in, week out, and do whatever we want. And you still have to scheme things in a way such that it makes it easy on your players. And, I mean, I watch football every week, like most of you probably do, and you see all the, I mean, you see a third and three, third and shorts. The Bucs were 3 of 9 on third down last Sunday, and it wasn't like they were facing third and 12s or something like that. These were short third downs. They couldn't pick them up. I mean, teams get those like candy. Like, it's almost impossible for the defense to stop these offenses on third and short. And yet, I watched the Bucs fail on Sunday, and it wasn't even just that they weren't making the right plays or making the wrong reads for Brady or dropping ball. These were really low percentage. Like, Brady's like just vroom, like throwing something Mach 3 through a tight little window trying to hit a guy. And I'm just like, you can't get by doing that. Like, you those guys can make some incredible plays, but they can't do it play in, play out, series in, series out. You know, you see on the other games you watch on TV, you know, guy comes out of the backfield, he releases, there's nobody there to cover him, or they hit a guy dragging over the middle of the field's out. They find the open spots, they get the few yards, and they keep the chains moving. That's what Tom Brady's always done. And it just feels like with Bruce Arians, we just try these low percentage plays. And I should say Byron Leftwich, because Bruce Arians, it's his offense, but Byron Leftwich is the one who's actually game planning and calling and all those things. And it just seems like we're trying things that are just really hard. Like, everything has to be just perfect. It's got to be a really good throw. It's got to be a really good catch. I mean, look at the touchdown they scored to Ronald Jones. Like, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like, okay, hey, we sent some guys downfield. Jones slips out of the backfield. They dumped it to him. There wasn't a defender within 10 yards of him, and he ran in and scored. But it, so often, I mean, and you listen to like guys like Romo. I mean, Romo said it on the broadcast. It was not even deep in the game either. Like, we had a few bad series early on. There was some things that you could tell they were out of sync, whatever. And Romo said that, you know, he sees a lot of things. I'm paraphrasing, but you remember it if you watched the game. Remember Romo saying, I see a lot of things wrong with this offense. I talked to Tom this week. And when he said that, it sounded, you know what it sounded like? And I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth. It sounded like Tom Brady said a lot of things to him, and Tony Romo went out and said the things out loud that Tom Brady also wants to say out loud but can't say out loud publicly. So to me, the way I interpreted it, now I'm not trying to say there's any kind of issue, because I don't think there's an issue with like Brady and Arians personally or anything like that. But it feels like, hey, I'm going to say, hey, this is me talking, Tony Romo, but really this is Brady talking. I'm saying it for him. That's what it sounded like to me. And I get it. I mean, Romo says, you know, where's the play action? Even on Sunday, when we barely ran it, I think Brady was 4 or 5. He had almost 100 yards, a touchdown. The play to Gronkowski, which wasn't a touchdown, was also play. Like, why don't they run play action more? Bruce Arians said why. After the game, he said, well, I'd love to, but when you're down 17-0, it's hard. No, it isn't. Like, that's what bothers me about Arians. Like, I know how smart he is. I know how good of a coach he is. I know the success he's had in the past, okay? But there's some certain very key and very basic premises that we know now that maybe we didn't necessarily know years ago, but like, we know things about play action now. We've talked about it on this show many times. Play action has nothing to do with, one, how good your run game is. The old, you know, wives' tale, oh, well, play action only works if your run game is a threat. No, it doesn't. Your run game could be just garbage and play action still works. And two, you know, oh, well, if they know we're not going to run because we're trailing, play action won't work. Again, no. If you just make even a half-assed play-action motion, just fake that handoff, defenders, linebackers, safeties, DBs, they freeze an extra little half second. It's instinct. Has nothing to do with the score of the game. Has nothing to do, oh, well, I don't care if they run. They only run for 2.1 yards per carry. I'm not going to respect their play-action. No, they will. Like, play-action works. Like, we don't run enough of it. And again, it's something that makes it easier on your quarterback. It's something that buys him more time. Romo himself said it, so this isn't just me saying it. Tony Romo said, he's like, everything's a drop back. Nothing gives this guy any time. Like, they're just putting pressure on him. Make it easy. The screen game, he said. Yeah, we don't, you know, that's another one. You know, that makes those guys think twice a little bit. We don't do anything to speak of with that. I mean, I know we tried it more in the Rams game. We had a few drops, but, you know, screen game sucks. We don't bother with play action. And Bruce Arians thinks, oh, we're down 17-0. We can't run play action anymore. That's a fundamental flaw in his thinking. And no matter how much more football he knows than me, which is a ton, if he thinks that, One, it's wrong, and two, it's hurting the team. Because if the Bucks ran more play action, their offense would work better. Like that, I don't think that's some crazy fan base take that's pie in the sky. And I don't know why they don't run more of it. You know, he was asked about motion. The Bucks don't do a lot of motion, and he talked about how, well, you know, that depends on the quarterback. We barely ever ran any motion before. Peyton Manning didn't like motion. Okay, well, fine. Peyton Manning didn't like motion. But, you know, again, that was not necessarily the same thing as Tom Brady. And I just, you know, it's frustrating because, again, we don't give our guys, especially Brady, we don't give them any easy looks. We don't have the safety valve out of the backfield. We don't have any of that. And so you watch them try to continuously thread the needle, or continuously amounts to like what looks like a trick shot or something. Like if you watch, anybody got kids, their kids watch Dude Perfect, they would do these trick shots on YouTube. That's what it feels like watching our offense. Like they have to execute something to that level to be able to make a play. And so that's frustrating. Like that to me is the most frustrating part of this whole thing. And I'm not just talking about the Chiefs game now, but I thought when we got Tom Brady, we were trying to get Tom Brady to do the same things he's been doing his whole career, not make him do different things. Not that he can't do them, and his arm strength is awesome. I'm not questioning his physical ability, but this offense needs to work for its players, and it's not. And we're just trying things that are, again, not necessarily, I'm not saying they're bad schemes or anything. They're hard to do, like too hard to do. And then you get down to 17-0, and then, yeah, it's hard to come back from that. The Bucks deserve a damn medal for losing that game 27-24 when it was 17-0, and Tyreek Hill's doing a backflip into the end zone, just clowning us right in front of our faces. If I gave you Bucks plus 3 points at that time right there, I mean, would you have bet $5 million on Kansas City minus 3 when it was 17-0? You know? It was like, there's no way the Bucks will be lucky not to lose this game 65-0 is what it felt like at that point. And the defense clamped down and held the Chiefs at bay. And the Bucks, you know, they scraped back, but it wasn't enough. It's too late. And so I really hope with the bye week, because the bye week being late, you know, it's good in some ways, it's bad in some others. And if you look at a year like this, I know nobody got to have preseason and everybody's under the same rules. I get that. But when you have a new quarterback learning a new system, and by the way, Brady, and it hasn't happened yet, but this stat blew my mind. 4 previous quarterbacks, Brady would be the 5th, had their career high in interceptions in their first year in Bruce Arians' offense. And on pace right now is Tom Brady. It doesn't mean he'll do it. I hope he doesn't do it, honestly, because we've got 4 important games left. But that's what he's on pace for. And, you know, like, having the bye week as late as it is, maybe in this specific situation this year it would have been better to have it earlier because they would have had a chance. Because in the bye week, you don't have to worry about an opponent, and you can kind of do, you know, work on yourself a little bit. You know, just like a vacation for any other person who you can work on yourself. Bucks need to work on themselves. They don't need to worry about, you know, trying to beat whoever. Which I don't even think they do much of anyway. It seems like they just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try and do it no matter who we're playing. And Mike Lombardi, and say what you want about Mike Lombardi, but he wrote an article in The Athletic about the Bucks. And I actually thought, I'm going to retweet it if you want to read it. I thought it was a good piece. And he said, I'm just quoting part of it here. He says, the Bucks' problems start with the offense and the philosophical differences between Arians and Brady. The teamwork between the two is not intentionally lacking, yet their view of how to win games week after week does differ significantly. Those differences lie in moving the ball, winning games, and most importantly, playing complementary football in all 3 phases to give the team the best chance to win the game on that specific Sunday against that specific opponent. He says Brady learned winning football on a week-to-week basis. His philosophical education of the game started each week with one question. What must we do this week to give us the best chance to win this game this Sunday? And those answers would vary from running it 50 times to passing it every down. But the offense always adjusted based on the weakness of the defense. Whereas, and I'm still quoting Lombardi right now, whereas Arians' philosophy centers on his offense, his quest for big plays, striking down the field and leaving the defense and special teams alone as they operate independently toward the ultimate goal. Bruce isn't changing what he does. He'll alter some plays, alter some routes, but he's looking to make big plays down the field and attack. His call sheet is set up to find biscuits as the reward for throwing it down the field, and if sacks or interceptions occur, then the next series, Arians will double down on looking for more big plays. And yeah, I mean, I really agree with that. That was really insightful and something that when I read it, I was nodding my head. It's like, yeah, this is a good description of what it feels like we're doing. And I just, it doesn't have to be that hard, does it? Like, it doesn't have to be that hard. Feels like it shouldn't be that hard. Here's the Romo quote exactly. Rick Stroud wrote a piece in the Tampa Bay Times, so I'll give you the exact Romo quote. Quote, where's the play action stuff to give him time? Everything's a drop back. The screen game hasn't been great. It's like all this stuff that's easy for quarterbacks. They don't have much of it. Just talking to him, he's referring to Brady. I sit here and watch the tape, and I'm watching an offense that's very different than his. And one area of concern I have, they're throwing it a lot, and they're throwing it downfield. People talk about he's throwing the ball great. He's throwing some of the most difficult balls he's thrown in his career right now and completing a lot. Then they go through stretches where they don't complete it. Teams are playing coverage against them. They're daring you to run the ball. And, yeah, I mean, they're just making it harder on Brady than it has to be. And that's, again, Tony Romo saying that, not just me. And I think of the concept of balance in an offense, and there's so many ways to define it. You know, the old school term balance used to just mean you ran the ball and you threw the ball exactly the same number of times or close to it, and that was balance. And, you know, I don't really think that's what balance means anymore. And Steve Palazzo of Pro Football Focus brought this up on one of their shows this week that I was listening to. And he said, the Bucs are lacking balance on offense. But you know what balance really is? And he was absolutely right when he said this. Balance is short, intermediate, deep, and then the run. It's like four things. So your running game, short pass, intermediate pass, deep pass. That's balance. It ain't about how many runs and passes. It's how many parts of the field are you attacking. And the Bucs don't attack the short part of the field at all and barely the intermediate part. So that's the balance they're missing is different depths of the field. And if you can attack all three of them with equal ability, that's a really hard offense to stop. But the Bucs are one-dimensional, not just in that they throw it too much. I mean, you've heard me say it. I don't throw it as many times as you want. But it's that they don't throw it to different places on the field. And they just, again, going back to making it harder on their own guys, relying on really, really, really tough plays to be made in order to be able to be successful. So hopefully that's something they can address here in the bye week. I mean, everybody's down, but look, this is where you look at the Bucs. It's been 13 years since they played in a playoff game. Only the Browns have a longer streak in the NFL. The Bucs should be fine. I mean, you look at the playoff standings right now, and there are seven teams that get in this year, not six. There's three wild cards to go with the four division winners, not two like usual. And there might even end up being eight total teams if COVID rears its head again and they have games that they simply cannot make up, because they've said they'll widen the playoff format up a little bit if they can't play all the games, just so that nobody gets hosed and misses by a half game or something that would have been in under the regular format. So my point is, though, the Bucs, as of now, are in sixth position, the second wild card. They're a half game behind the Rams, and the Rams hold the tiebreaker, of course, because of the head-to-head win. The Bucs and the Panthers are the only two teams left that haven't had their bye week, so they won't play this week. After the games go off this week, assuming they all go off as scheduled, everybody will have played 12 games, and the Bucs will probably be, and you know, the Saints will probably be, I mean, at this point, the Bucs would have to beat the Saints by like four games almost or something like that in just 5 weeks. That, the division's out of reach. So now we're talking wild card. The Rams don't have it easy down the stretch. The Rams play the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Jets, which they'll win, then the Seahawks on the road, then the Cardinals again. So that's four out of five games that are tough for the Rams. Bucks should, you know, if they go 3-1 down the stretch, they should be able to maybe pass the Rams, maybe not, depends on a few things that happen. If you look at the remaining schedules, basically here's what it comes down to. There's six teams for three wild card spots. It could change with some division winners shifting. But basically the Rams are a half game ahead of the Bucks at 7-4. Bucks are 7-5. Cardinals are 6-5. Then you've got the Vikings, Bears, and 49ers all 5-6. We know the Bucs play the Vikings in their next game, and not this week, but the next week. So the remaining winning percentages of opponent, basically, for those six teams, the Bucks have the easiest schedule remaining. Their remaining opponents have a winning percentage of 386. No one else's is below 400, and they play head-to-head only the Vikings in that group, having already lost to the Rams and having already lost to the Bears as far as tiebreakers. And I don't think the Bears will end up being a threat. But the Bucks, you know, having the game against Minnesota, which is a game that you're going to be coming off a bye, you're going to be coming off of a couple of heartbreak losses to good teams. I mean, every single situation in the world is going to set up for the Bucks to win that game. And if they don't, then I'll really feel foolish then, having felt like I wasted my time thinking of all the possibilities for down the road. But they're going to beat Minnesota, in my opinion. I think they'll have no problem against Minnesota. And they should go 3-1, if not 4-0, in these final four games. So their odds of making the playoffs are still pretty high. It's not maybe what we all imagined earlier in the season when we were thinking about having a first-round bye and being at home. But, you know, it may not be that bad. The Bucks just lost three home games in a row, and they got a better road record than home record. And there's no fans, and I don't even know what the playoffs are going to look like, but it'll probably be pretty similar to what we're seeing right now. Do you want to go to Green Bay in January? Yeah, probably not. I mean, do you want to go to Seattle? No, you'd rather not have to do those things. But I don't think those are unwinnable games. And it's too early to tell. I mean, we'll get more into all that as the season goes on. But my point is, it feels like a low point right now. And I said on the show last week that no matter how bad you're feeling after that Rams loss, it'll all go away. If they beat the Chiefs, they'll feel like a Super Bowl favorite all over again. Well, they came close, but they came up short. And I'm at the point right now emotionally as a fan, and this isn't a terrible place to be, where it's been so long since they've played any meaningful games this late in the year. And it's been so long since they played a playoff game, and it looks like both of those things are going to happen now, where I'm not Super Bowl or bust in my mind, and I'm just going to have fun watching the games. This is the best part of the NFL season. When it hits December, like Tom Brady has said, the season starts at Thanksgiving. So that, you know, that was this past week. But yeah, I mean, this is when the NFL starts getting really, really good. And I'm looking forward to every minute of it. It's going to be fun. I think the Bucks should be able to go 10-6, or you know, maybe even 11-5, maybe 9-7 too, though, if they go 2-2 down the stretch. But either way, they're going to play important games. They're going to play a playoff game, which I still remember the last one in 2007 against the Giants. And that feels so long ago. That was before I married my wife, let alone had kids and all these things. You know, so think about stuff that's looking at probably happening this year that hasn't happened in a long time, and we're going to have some fun with that. And I'm not, you know, sometimes when you think your team's going to be a Super Bowl team, you're just so crushed when it doesn't happen that you can't really enjoy the other stuff. So now I'm at the point where, hey, it's a bonus if that happens. I know they're going to have a chance to do it. And hey, I'll take my chances with Tom Brady in the playoffs in any scenario, home, road, whatever. And hopefully by then the Bucks will have figured some things out that they hadn't figured out yet. But either way, right now, no game this week. We're going to have a chance to just take it easy, watch the other games, and then get ready for a stretch run that contains two home games and two road games, starting with the Minnesota game next Sunday. Schedule note for those of you that missed it, the Lions game is going to be on December the 26th. They moved it up a day, just like they did with the Bucks-Texans game last year, where they played on Saturday at 1 o'clock. The Bucks-Lions is now the Saturday 1 o'clock game that week, moved off of Sunday, which is cool. That's another national TV game for the Bucks, and I love having the Saturday games now. There's going to be games on different nights. By the way, I love the game yesterday. There's no Thursday night game tonight, which is unfortunate, but I love the game at 3:40 yesterday. Do this more. When this is all over, when everything's back to normal, I mean, I get you're not going to play at 3:40 on a Wednesday. I understand that, but wasn't that great? You know, getting home from work, for those of you that have normal work hours, or those of you that even leave your house for work at this point, or if you were at home, hey, it's 3:40 on a Wednesday. Maybe the most mundane, like what's the most mundane single moment of any week? Is it 3:40 on Wednesday is close. Like I would say maybe 11:08 a.m. on Tuesday morning is probably the single most mundane moment of any week, but we could debate about that on a different show. But 3:40 p.m. on Wednesday is up there, and hey, there's a real live NFL game on. My mom came over to visit me and the kids And I had the game on. She's like, oh, what, is this from Sunday? Like, she thought, you know, NFL Network was re-airing. And she saw Robert Griffin, so she thought it was old. And I was like, no, this is live. Robert Griffin's playing quarterback for the Ravens right now. This is a live NFL game. And I was dialed in, baby. I had a little action on it, made it fun, you know? You can put, this is what I love about the NFL. Like, there's 256 regular season games total. They might add 16 more to make it 262 if they add a 17th game. But either way, every one of those 256 games is of interest. And you cannot say that about any other sport. Even college football, which you know I love, there's so many teams and so many games, they don't all matter. But, you know, there's always basketball, hockey, there's millions of games. Baseball does have weekday matinee games, and, you know, even if it's the Rays, it's like, okay, cool, I'm glad. But it doesn't even matter who the teams are. You're playing a game at 3:40 on Wednesday, you have my full attention. I enjoyed it. Play more games at different weird times of day. And as long as there's COVID and there's no fans, that's easier to do because you're not relying on fans to come to the game anyway. But that was great. And so now there's no Thursday night game tonight, but there is a Tuesday night game and two Monday games coming up this coming week. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm telling you, it's getting fun now, folks. You know, the weather cooled down a little bit. There's football getting into the real meat of the season here. Playoff races going on. And the Bucks are right in the thick of it. So, you know, Thanksgiving already happened last week. But if you're looking for reasons to be excited, there's plenty to be thankful for, at least in the world of Buccaneer football, despite what has happened the past few weeks. I'm not going to let it bother me too much. I'm just going to hope for the best. And by no means have I lost hope for this season of what could be. We have no idea what's to come. But I do know the bye week is coming this weekend, and it comes at a really good time. So for everybody out there, not just the Bucks, but all of you as well, you know, let's get our ducks in a row, get ready for a big month of December. The holidays are here. The Bucks have four big games in a row leading into Wild Card Weekend. And we're going to take you through all of it on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform and allowing me to be in front of all of you guys. I can't appreciate it enough, and I'm very appreciative of it every single week. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, and thanks to all of you. Have a great weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Your Sundays are spoken for, or Saturdays with the Lions game in the next 4 weeks. But until then, enjoy this weekend. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks.